Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. I'm here with Marcus Haney. Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project. The second time I've ever sung on the show. We've been doing this thing coming up on 3 years. And I always decide when it's time to make a big change in my life, it's time to put it all out on the line. So that's what I'm doing today. Marcus Haney, this is the Haney Biz Project. Are you hanging or are you banging today, buddy?
I am banging. So fired up that you started the show off with some vocals. Our fans needed that.
I had to
appreciate
let it rip.
You.
I had to get. I've been off for the last couple weeks. Some of you know that. Our regular listeners know I have been off for the last couple weeks. I had a personal tragedy in my family life, followed by a tremendous opportunity to go to Montana and go to a wedding. My wife and I have been married 33 years. The child of the woman that fixed us up 33 years ago. Her daughter was getting married. Went down there, celebrated our anniversary. I took some time off.
Good for you. Yeah. I think you need a little bit. I think you were wearing a cowboy hat up there.
I bought my first pair of cowboy boots. I had a cowboy hat. Only in Montana, we go out to eat, and I order a chicken Caesar salad, and they ask me, Mark, what kind of dressing do you want on that? And I'm like, Montana. We were in a town of like 400 people. They did have Caesar salad, and they had ranch dressing available for the salad. So now today's subject, right? We're always trying to run a theme through the Haney Biz Project, right? We are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution, and we're talking about telling the stories of winning, the stories of comebacks in many cases, because building a business is never easy. But there's always a turning point. If you don't quit, there's always a turning point, Marcus, and I kind of feel like that's where we're at. I had a couple weeks off, and I think we're at a position where today is the first day of the rest of my life. We are going to hit this hard. We're going to have big news next week, but I am feeling the enthusiasm today. How you feeling? Are you hanging or banging?
I am fired up. Love the enthusiasm. Like to start off the show like that and give our listeners, really some opportunity to see what behind the scenes for you looks like, right? Because sometimes you're a little dull. So the singing
sometimes
today really brings it out.
People accuse me of a lot of things. They accuse me of having no talent, no ability, but they always say, hey, you know what, Mark? I like your energy. So I am bringing
perfect.
That again today. But we're thinking about that turning point, Marcus, and so recently I've had a change in my life. My mother passed away. I'll talk about that a little later in the show. But kind of like an awakening for me, a new sense of ambition, a new sense of drive, a new sense of confidence. I'm so confident. I sang. I remember the last time I sang to your mother for her birthday, which was awkward.
Cause, I remember.
Right. I cannot sing, but you know what? We have to make an impact if we want to go out and change the world. We have to get people's attention. We have to hopefully get them engaged, and then we figure out a way to turn it into a business. How about you, Marcus? You've been through a lot, right? We know you as the Purple Heart, the Marine entrepreneur. Last week we would normally be talking about the fact that you were shot in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We missed your anniversary of being shot on the show because I was out in Montana at a wedding and we ran a rerun. But what was the biggest turning point in your life?
Oh, man. Absolutely getting shot in Afghanistan and coming home to see my son for the first time was absolutely a turning point. But I think that when I was in boot camp, you do a thing called the Crucible, which is a week-long training operation where you get no sleep, minimal food. And once you come through that and learn teamwork and all sorts of mental toughness that you normally probably wouldn't get in the normal civilian life. And then once you get off that mountain, you get given your first Eagle Globe and Anchor.
Wow.
And that was the day I became a United States Marine. And I think that ever since then, everything's changed.
You think that was the day you became a man? Or was that something that happened at a different time?
I have to tell you off the show.
But no, these life experiences, they change us. I mean, think about the show, Marquee, right? We switched over to iHeart about a year ago, and then we get the partnership with Marquee Media. And ever since then, great things are happening. I got myself into a little trouble the other day. You see the billboards, Marquee Media. media billboards, and I'm up there, right, in the billboard. I get teased a lot. Well, I kind of got into trouble the other day. I don't know if you heard about this, Marcus. Apparently, there were golf balls all over the freeway. One of my billboards is right near Hagen Oaks Golf Course, and some of my buddies were trying to hit the marquee media sign, trying to hit me, and started spraying all over the freeway. So it was awkward. So I guess all I can say is thank you, Marquee Media. I appreciate what you do for me. I appreciate our partnership. We are here in the Marquee Media studios. And these are turning points that we have in our life. And so, you know, thinking about that, Marcus, today, I think in many ways is a turning point to you. Look at the guests that we have coming up in today's show. It is an all-star lineup we have coming up later in the show. We are going to meet the man who is all business, Ben Gumpert, the COO of the SAC Republic FC. But coming up after the break, we will meet one of the most humble and down-to-earth successful entrepreneurs in the region, Mr. John Stone, the CEO of Fantag. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies. This is the Haney Biz Project.
This is my love song to my wife.
It was New Year's in my Mazda the night you came into my life. We drove to Tahoe, played the stereo, just delirious for quite a while. My Stacy Lynn, my Stacy Lynn, I am nowhere without you. We will marry the family, every day will be brand new.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney, and today I'm joined by John Stone, the CEO of Fantag. How you doing, John?
Very good. Great to be here.
I'm glad you are here. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time. We finally have you here. I think a lot of people in Sacramento do not know your story yet. If you don't mind, John, could you just give us a little bit of your background, your entrepreneurial story?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say that just sitting here looking at the names of the guests that you've had on the show, many of them are familiar to me, others are not, but just an impressive group of people and a reminder that Sacramento has a lot of great things going on and a lot of certainly good people.
You bet.
And I appreciate you didn't bring me on to sing, because I would rather speak publicly 100 times than have to sing privately once.
You're not a singer. So if you had to sing one song, what would you sing?
Oh, man.
Happy birthday?
Yeah, I think so. That's probably my most.
All right. Well,
hit.
You know, those I can't sing, but those of us that can't sing, every once in a while, we just try to embarrass ourselves a little bit to get some attention. So that's what I was trying to do today. But talking about John Stone, who's John Stone?
Yeah, no. So, man, middle-aged guy, 51 years old. I look in the mirror.
You're
every
a kid.
Day just, I know. I keep seeing myself as a 20-year-old. But live in El Dorado Hills. I'm married with four boys. That's really who I think of. That's how I think of life right now, is just the family that I've been blessed with and fortunate to be in an awesome community there in El Dorado Hills.
Yeah.
Variety of different schools and phases of life, which always presents a challenge as a parent and as a family, but certainly one that is just full of happiness and excitement and never a dull moment.
First and foremost, you're a family man, local entrepreneur, have had a lot of success. Walk us through your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say back when I was a kid, my mom, she had eight kids.
Okay.
Right? So there were eight of us in the family. And they never wanted us to work during the school year, but they always wanted us to work during the summer. And first couple summers, I was doing landscape maintenance, really grinding it out on an hourly wage. And then my mom gave us the idea of balloon bouquets.
Oh.
And the notion that it's really hard for her to find helium balloons anywhere. And at the time, they weren't in the supermarket. They weren't in the floral stores. So we had the idea of creating our own little company, making Mylar balloons, latex balloons, filling them up, sucking the helium once in a while.
you gotta get the high voice.
When they
there.
Weren't working, you know, doing ridiculous things like delivering them in a Mickey Mouse costume or taking orders orders and fulfilling those, especially around Valentine's Day.
How old would you have been at that stage?
So I was about 14 because my older brother was the driver. He had the easy job. He just got to drive.
Wow.
We had to take the orders, collect the checks, and then, of course, my youngest brother, he was kind of the grunt. We dressed him up in Mickey Mouse and did the embarrassing thing.
So the three brothers were business partners.
Yeah, that's right. Cool. So we did that as a job. Now, I just mentioned that because that's the earliest entrepreneurial experience that I believe that I had. And I just remember the satisfaction of, or the challenge of, building a business, thinking through various aspects of it, but also realizing that you weren't on the clock. And so the harder that you worked and the more that you scaled, it gave you the opportunity to really build something beyond just working for your time.
Yeah, controlling your own destiny.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's where the seed was planted. I grew up in a real estate family, so my dad was able to attend games and be at school events, and I always appreciated the flexibility that that afforded him. He worked as hard as anybody else, but he did it in flexible hours.
He was an entrepreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, I always knew that I wanted to be in business for myself or just have that flexibility as well as that challenge. And I think it was, you know, around when I graduated from college that I probably had the misconception that education was over and all the money and the fun began.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at different jobs, and there was one in particular that would have kept me here in California, working with my best buddy, super flexible lifestyle, and one that would have just been really easy and fun. Then I also had one in New York City to go work, be a grunt, a low-level guy, 100 hours a week. And when I was weighing those two opportunities with my father, he said, you know, he said, this one certainly sounds fun, but this is not the time of life when you're 22, 23 to go off and start harvesting. You're still building a foundation.
Ah.
And I remember that advice was a real turning point for me to be able to go off in a direction of one where I learned the value of hard work. I understood that the opportunity of a business can be much bigger than just your neighborhood or your community. And also the work ethic that you get by doing something hard rather than something that was easy certainly left a lasting impression.
Well, talk to us about your big win story in entrepreneurship. I know you've had a lot of success. Talk to us about some of the highlights of the things you've done.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of lowlights in between, right? And so focusing more on the highlight because they're more fun.
Yeah.
When I was in business school, we were part of the beta AOL email group. It was the first, and I had worked in New York for 2 years, never heard of email. It was not out there. I was always stationed at the Bloomberg terminal, gathering information, running down to the research lab, getting printed based information and pulling things from there. So in business school, we were part of this AOL email beta group, and it was just fascinating and eye-opening to the ability to be able to transmit and receive data through your computer over some noisy
a lot of people didn't embrace that
connection.
For a long time.
But
the ones that did okay, right?
Well, sure. And so early on, it encouraged me to understand this space better. And so I did a couple projects, but met a great guy named Greg Porter, who happened to be based here in Sacramento. We did a project together that failed, but we learned a lot about the internet architecture and the possibilities that the internet afforded any type of business. So I was working at Bain, which is actually a company that Ben and I share.
Finance guy.
Well, it's a strategy. You know, okay. It's a little more strategy, but sure, there's a little finance woven.
Yeah, I guess
so. Depending on the project.
Yes.
And, you know, that wasn't the right job for me. It was an awesome experience and an incredible company, but I knew that's not where I wanted to build my career. So I reconnected with Greg, who'd really developed an amazing grade book, grade school application off of the internet backbone. And we started strategizing around what that could mean. And so I left Bain, moved out here to Sacramento. That was another turning point, was actually leaving Sacramento and leaving San Francisco, coming to Sacramento, and just immersing myself in a community for more than just a couple of years. Because up until then, it had been school, job, business school, another job, bouncing around from place to place. And it was really an opportunity to settle down, plant our roots, and commit to something long term.
Yeah. So talk to us about Power School.
Yeah. So Greg built this amazing product and was smart enough to do it on the scalable architecture of the internet. And what I'd seen in some of my projects at Bain were companies were really struggling with figuring out how to leverage the internet to do something worldwide. So, for example, Nike, how could they sell their products online without alienating Foot Locker, which was driving 60 to 70% of their business? So in brainstorming with Greg, we realized, you know, the internet is amazing. You can find out all this stuff that's going on around the world, but it's not as relevant for what's just around the street corner at your school. And so if we could leverage the power of this and make it way more relevant for your day-to-day, much like people were beginning to experience with E-Trade and some of those transactions that they could do online, we decided to build that and really grow a company out of it. So we made a bet on the internet, which at the time only 3% of schools were connected, many of which thought they'd never bring the internet into their classroom because it was still this unknown, intimidating possibility for them.
Yeah, so you built this into a significant company, had it exit. How did that change your life? That must have been a turning point.
Yeah, you know, it was. You know, at the time, we built it to conquer the world and to be in every single school worldwide. But we soon learned that the best way to do that was through partners, people that were already established, channels that were set in place with an existing audience and buyers. And so we had the benefit of aligning with a lot of strategic partners, one of which was Apple. And we'd done several co-marketing opportunities for them. After the dot-com crash in 2000, we needed another round of funding. And so as we went out more strategically for a round of funding, we realized very quickly that there was more than just a co-marketing opportunity there. It was also a time when Dell had just exceeded Apple in terms of units shipped in education, which, as you can imagine, for Apple was a real eye-opener for them. And so I think they wanted to do something symbolic. And keep in mind, again, our product was browser-based, so you could use PowerSchool whether you were using a Mac or a PC.
Well, a lot of times when people have a successful exit or a life-changing type of event, they'll end up retiring or going on the sidelines. You now are the CEO of Fantag, and we ran into each other the other night at Raley Field at a Rivercats game, and you were burning the candle at both ends now. You're a guy that could be retired, but you are building Fantag. Why? What is Fantag?
Well, once you kind of catch the entrepreneurial bug, you never get it out, right? And so even after my exit with Apple, I sought out various startup companies, wanted to invest, wanted to advise, be involved at some level. There was never really one like Fantag that resonated. It's the intersection of both personal interest in sports and a passion for technology. And so I came across the company meeting the founder through Cheryl Benninga, who'd run media and mobile investments for Intel Capital, and then Andy Beal, who, as you know, is CEO for Max Preps. And given that this was sourced to me by two very credible, experienced, knowledgeable people, I took it very seriously, decided to invest as one of their early seed investors. And just in sitting in on a board meeting or facilitating different partner meetings, one of which was with The Republic, and the opportunity to trial this technology as a fan engagement tool or as a social media outreach mechanism for teams of any size and of all types, it really got me excited. So when Brian asked me to join as the CEO last December, it was hard to just sit on the sidelines.
What problem are you solving with Fantag? Describe the product.
Yeah, so as we know, video is fun. Right? Video is just so fun. It's different. It's a different experience than just reading something in text or even seeing a couple static images. But it's a little bit challenging to necessarily capture access and to be able to share. And so that process of trying to track down a highlight of your kid doing something or wanting to explain what just happened at the Republic game, oftentimes if it's just a tweet with some words or if we ourselves share that experience, just explaining it, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And eyes light up and the response that you get from an audience or just one-to-one interaction is different when you can hold up your phone and show them the video. So FanTag is solving the problem of allowing teams, schools, classes, groups, production environments, the ease of access to be able to get those moments instantly to their phone in a shareable form.
Okay, and then they're tagged, right? The fan is able to use their camera potentially to videotape the event and tag it a certain way so it's easy to access. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, the fan tag experience could be either capture or consume.
Okay.
It facilitates the capture so that not only are you capturing it and sharing it and making it instantly available to everybody, but you also can see those highlights come in real time. So in other words, an individual can tag at a play after something happens and they'll immediately be able to see it from as many angles that captured the action. Similarly, if you're capturing, you can also tag a button and push that highlight or that moment out to as many people that are following
the
event.
Nice.
And so it really facilitates, it streamlines that workflow of video capture, video consumption.
John Stone, we're going to ask you to stick around. We love hearing the story of success, and now you can't quite shut it off. We want to hear more of the story, but coming up after the break, we're going to meet Ben Gumpert. He is the COO of the SAC Republic FC. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Audi Rockland and DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Ben Gumpert, the COO of the SAC Republic. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Glad you are here. I want to know what's going on with the Republic today. We all know it is the soccer team in town, but tell us what the latest and greatest is with the SAC Republic.
Well, we're fresh in season. Just came back last night. Had a match in Fresno. Got a road victory. 1-0.
Nice.
Team's playing extremely well. Tied for second in the conference, and actually in the entire league of now 33 teams, which has been really an interesting story around the growth of soccer. Everyone talks about MLS, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but USL, the second division, now has 33 teams and very well capitalized teams, which has been an amazing growth story and proof of soccer, which you see at all levels. But it's exciting that, you know, we have a great group of guys on the field that we put together, a new coach, a new general manager, and most importantly, and especially for our home matches, you know, we have the fan base that continues to pour out, continues to support, continues to be incredibly passionate about their Republic, as they should be. So we're having fun.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about the fan experience. We are season ticket holders. We get the VIP seats, but what it's like for the family so often is really an incredible experience.
Yeah. Well, you're all VIP all the time.
No doubt. Yeah.
Right. That's the way to do it. Listen, I mean, you know, we take very seriously the fan experience for all those segments, right? So we have, you know, families that come up to me all the time and kids running around that we want to make sure, you know, get engaged. People that want to bring out their friends and drink some beers and drink some nice craft brews and enjoy the Sacramento evening. Also, certainly some business leaders in our community are out there and everything in between. And I think that's what we love about what has happened here, especially around soccer, is that, you know, almost by definition, it's this world's game, right? It's the global game, and literally in every corner of the world, it's played in rich areas and poor areas, in areas in Latin America, in Asia, in Europe, you name it. And obviously, as we sit here today, as the first day of the World Cup, or as the World Cup is starting, it's a nice testament to show what's happening, and we have it right in our backyard. You know, maybe not the same scale, but right here in our backyard. And, you know, one other thing we take very seriously is sort of this idea of accessibility. And so I love seeing our fans and five-year-olds running around kicking and scoring a goal on a real goal after the game. And we try and do everything we can to open up our field, to have our players that go out and shake hands and after every single game and go out into the stands and thank the supporters for the amazing support that they give. And it really creates just a great environment no matter what you're looking for.
Why is Sacramento, beyond the Republic, you run the business, you guys run a great business, but why is soccer so popular here in Sacramento? What makes this a soccer town?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to its roots that we were just talking about, you know, Sacramento, and I think Time Magazine actually coined an article, it's about, you know, a decade old, but it still holds true, is that in many ways, this was a Time article that said this is Sacramento is the most diverse city in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a really balanced city from, you know, there's a, you know, certainly a Caucasian population, a Hispanic population, an Asian American population, African American population, and it's really balanced across the city. And not only is that really balanced, it's a very integrated city in a way. And so I think, you know, that affords us, first of all, that's one of the reasons why we love Sacramento as a community, right? That we come from all different walks of life, but come together around a unified spirit. And there's no better place to do that than around sports, right? That's a unifying engine. And certainly one of the reasons that I love sports and I'm incredibly passionate about it. And certainly here in Sacramento, you combine those two things and you start to see why soccer has been so successful. When you look at and it plays out, right? And we'll talk about, just like John, I was a Bain guy and had my analytics training. It's about data, and you know, I think the latest youth numbers have nearly 100,000 youth play formal youth soccer in the Sacramento region. And just to give you a sense for that number, that's more than the states of Oregon and Colorado combined, right? Two that have MLS teams and bona fide soccer programs. That's just here in the Sacramento region. So it's really unbelievable what's happened. This truly is a soccer region and a soccer city, and that plays out with the Republic.
Well, you started off at Bain, and then it led you to the NBA, which led you to the Kings. Talk to us a little bit about your journey and how different it is now being part of this quest for MLS.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up down the street, and I was a Sacramento boy, born and bred. You know, my mom moved to Sacramento when she was 5 years old. We'll talk about, you know, her parents operated a general store in South Sacramento, so certainly had some exposure to entrepreneurs. And then and my dad, you know, came out of law school and came and settled roots down here in Sacramento. So our family's been here a long time. I love it here. I loved growing up here. But I left and went to school and worked at Bain and worked at the NBA. But you know, ever since growing up, I remember when the Kings came, when they moved here from Kansas City and going to that first game with my dad and becoming a Kings fan. And then I played every sport that I could. And my older brother and I, who was just a year older than me in school, we would play every sport that we could find. And, you know, my mom would yell at us for breaking stuff in the house, but we would turn laundry into basketball and football and soccer games. And, you know, ever since then, I've always had a passion for sports. And as I was, you know, progressing in my career and working at Bain and meeting fantastic people, I always had this hankering to, well, how can I marry those passions of sports and business, which I had been doing. Had the real fortunate opportunity while I was in business school to work for the San Francisco Giants, which are a fantastic organization. And, you know, to be honest, I always tried, I love sports. I'm a huge sports fanatic, so many sports, but maybe it won't really work to actually, you know, have a job there. But hey, it's worth a shot. And I had a summer there and I absolutely loved it. I loved being around it. I felt like I could add a ton of value. I felt like I really melded with the people and really trying to understand the fan base in a new way. And that set me off on a journey that's taken me to here. But again, very many fortunate bounces along the way to be in the place that I grew up in my hometown, being a part of the Kings and helping to build that arena now. Helping to build the Republic and hopefully launch this into an MLS team and that will be around for generations.
Well, there's a rumor going around that a man named Ron Burkle has been in talks with you guys. Talk to us about that rumor. Is it a rumor?
You got to be careful. It's definitely a rumor. But listen, and Ron Burkle is a fantastic sports owner. He's a fantastic business person, a fantastic entrepreneur, which is certainly important for this show. He has a connection to Sacramento. If you remember during the Kings fight, Ron Burkle was very much engaged at an early stage in helping to save the Kings, and was looking to be a lead investor. There were some conflicts that came up with his ownership of an agency that had NBA players that represented NBA players, which is why he is not one of the Kings owners. But he certainly has an appreciation for what goes on in this community broadly, and certainly around sports. So, with respect to the specific discussions on MLS, yes, he is engaged for all those reasons, as you'd expect. It's difficult, given the private nature of these discussions and negotiations, to get into any details. But I certainly think incredibly highly of him, as does, everyone that we talk to in Sacramento and on all our minority partners, and Kevin Nagel, who's been in talks with many. You can start to see, there's a number of investors that we look at that care a lot about soccer, care a lot about sports, but also care about the community of which they play. And Ron is certainly one of those.
Well, there's no question. I have tremendous respect for Kevin Nagel and you and what's going on with the ownership group. I love what you're doing, but if we were to pull out a crystal ball, when would we be predicting that we might get an MLS team?
We hope sooner than later. I'll try to steer away from some prognostications, but we feel strongly that as a community, most importantly, that we've presented incredibly compelling case for MLS, right? We have the fan base like no other, right? And it really starts, yes. It starts and stops there. That's proven out at the Kings, but as we talked about with the Republic, just the amount, the outpouring of support that started on day one with 20,000 fans coming out strong, and has been a story ever since, has truly been amazing. Certainly the business community alongside that. Second, the stadium is exactly where it should be, and exactly designed how it should be, which was, to be downtown at the rail yards, right? Really in the front door of the city, helping to double the size of downtown and be part of the next growth generation of Sacramento, which is important for business, and to be done in the right way in the rail yards. We can talk for an hour about the story of the rail yards being the westernmost terminus to the Transcontinental Railroad, being a source of innovation more than 100 years ago, and now being reformulated into this way to bring another professional sports team to this community. There's so much there. And then the ownership group, Kevin Nagel, certainly at the top of that list, and what he's done for Sacramento, always been a Sacramento first guy. Mark Friedman, Phil Oates, Larry Kelly, Dave Lucchetti, yourself, the list goes on and on about these people that care a lot about, first and foremost, about Sacramento, and growing this community, making it a better place to live, work, and play, making it a place that will continue to grow and do great things. And I'll say from my seat, I couldn't be more thrilled just to have the opportunity to learn from those individuals and be a small part of it.
You bet. We're going to ask you to stick around. Speaking of getting to break and running out of time, we don't quite have that full hour, but when we come back, we're going to ask John Stone to come back and join us. We're going to talk about Sacramento. We're going to talk about the opportunity that is building, that is brewing right here in our hometown. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies and California Growth Advisors. Today, I am joined by both John Stone and Ben Gumpert. We've been talking about sports. We've been talking about winning, MLS. I mean, we've covered a lot of cool stuff. Ben, I'm going to kick it over to you. Optimism is on the rise in Sacramento. Why?
I think a lot of it comes down, of course, in my biased sense, to sports and what happened around the Kings, and the belief that when a community comes together, whether it's about basketball or something something broader that we can do great things. Yeah. Listen, I am a huge fan of Sacramento. I make no qualms about it. What I'm most excited about is that people in Sacramento can carry more confidence in what they do. And that means, you know, the guy walking down the street, the family in El Dorado Hills or the business community. We all need to share in that and think bigger things for Sacramento. And I'm excited that the Kings were part of it. And I know that the Republic are part of that as well.
Well, you think about that, John, right? You are investing your time, your hard-earned dollars here into a Sacramento-based business. How important is optimism, and what effect may have the Kings had in the general optimism of in Sacramento?
Yeah, I mean, it's palpable, really. And I'd never spent as much time downtown and in Midtown as I have in the last year with Fantag.
Yeah.
Living out in El Dorado Hills and having our office in Folsom, we'd only come in once in a while, maybe for a game or for a dinner. But yeah, I mean, you really sense it. There's new construction. There's new facelifts going on all around town. As a business operator, both 20 years ago as well as today, I don't think the story's changed much, that there's a talent pool here, lower cost of living, access to resources, and it only continues to get better.
Yeah.
So with Fantag, we have our investor, our primary investor with Moneta Ventures here. Mm-hmm. Our founder relocated from the Bay Area as part of the Greater Sac Initiative. We've had great support with the Kings, with the Republic, with the River Cats, in being able to trial and experiment with our technology. And then, you know, you've got companies and partners like Telestream and Max Preps right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
So it's not lost on us that this is a real Sacramento success story that we're part of.
Yeah, you start seeing what's happening down in the rail yards. You talked about that a little bit during the break, Ben. You know, the ground making ceremony. Here I am with my hard hat, right?
Love it.
You guys gave these out when you actually put the first shovel in the ground over at Larry Kelly's property over there at the rail yards. Seeing those type of things happen, I mean, that's got to give you some more optimism too.
Again, absolutely. This is about Sacramento thinking bolder and thinking bigger. You look at the rail yards and 240 acres. That's right, you know, right against the river, right in our downtown. We have to think big about what we're going to do about that, and to be a part of that, and to have something which would be the next professional sports team in Sacramento, and to be soccer. And we talked about why soccer is the perfect fit for Sacramento. You know, for that to be right there, I think fits wonderfully. And if we're going to have Sacramento continue to grow, we need projects that are big and bold like that.
Yeah, we've been considered a government town for a long time, and there's some of us that sort of imagine us being an entrepreneurial town at some point, right? An entrepreneurial revolution where this confidence all seems to come together and it ignites in some way. Now, John, thinking about Sacramento, what do you envision for your kids and your grandkids here in Sacramento?
Yeah, I mean, several times I've asked the question, should we move? And looking out across other places in California and beyond, there's no other place that we'd rather be. So we've enjoyed really planting our roots and being here. I think it'll always be part of our family, whether our kids hang out or whether they go off like, you know, Ben and I did from our respective hometowns and then come back.
Yeah.
But I just see it continuing to attract more and more people. And I, you know, speaking of turning points, I agree with Ben that when the Kings were able to stay here, I think it really re-energized the community and galvanized a lot of people that would have otherwise maybe just kind of operated or existed in their own little space.
Yeah. How about you, Ben? What do you envision for the landscape of Sacramento over the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Well, certainly it's going to have a nice world-class soccer stadium right in the middle of it. That's for sure. And a great team. I think we need to continue to invest in other industries, specifically around the technology space, around life sciences, around health sciences. Sacramento has a ton of resources, and I don't just mean natural resources, though that's a big piece, but certainly the talent pool that we have and the education levels that we have here in Sacramento. And in order to continue to grow the city, we need to think big around how can we grow some of these industries and make these truly world-class. Again, I'd love our partnership with UC UC Davis, who's one of our biggest partners, and certainly on the health side, just more broadly, like they are a world-class institution in many ways. We need to continue to connect them to Sacramento. I love that Aggie Square is coming in. There's so many other great Sacramento stories on the technology and entrepreneurship front, which become, you know, they one begets the other. And as we continue to do that, that's where Sacramento needs to continue for this next decade, if it's going to be everything that we want it to be.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show today. I want to thank you for sharing your stories and for your investment in our hometown of Sacramento. Next week, we have a show that is going to rival this one, I think, in a way. We're going to have Dan and Shauna Wells, Bases Loaded, right? Another sports company. Chip Maxson, right? We know Chip. He is with the River Cats. And Matt French, he is the high school baseball coach at Del Oro High School. And they just won the SFL championship. When we return, we will share our takeaways and our closing thoughts about turnarounds. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisors, Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silver's HR and Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney. I am back here with my main man, Marcus Haney. Been talking about the turning points in our life. Been talking a little bit about sports, Sacramento, with two people who are invested into this community. Takeaways, closing thoughts, Marcus?
Yeah, well, you know, turnarounds, I think we are primed right now in the city of Sacramento for a great turnaround to continue with the Sac Republic, hopefully be getting the MLS berth, and companies like Fantag coming out, moving them from the Bay Area, and really bringing on some new talent and some new lifeblood here in Sacramento. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times these turning points where, like, everything... you awaken to like this new way that things are. And I talked about that a little bit in our monthly newsletter, The Revolution, right? You can subscribe at HaneyBiz.com. But we asked the question, or I made the statement that today is my turning point. And I, you know, thinking about, 33 years of marriage, right? And all of that, what that brings, you look back in your life, Marcus, you know, you being shot in Afghanistan and how that changes our lives. We have these turning points in our life where like everything changes on that day. Sometimes we realize that changes, you know, we notice it real time, but other times you look back several years later, and that's when you realize, hey, that was the point that everything changed. And I think these guys are right. When the Kings decided to stay in Sacramento, when the group of people with Kevin Nagel and the people that were spoke of today found a way to keep the Kings, and now what's going on with the Republic, you see that optimism. And it was great to hear that from both of our guests today, the optimism and the investment confidence that's building here in our region. But in our newsletter, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Sometimes we look back on our life and we see the turning point. Other times we feel the change in real time. Either way, it's never too late for an awakening. And either way, the turning point, it begins with our approach and our state of mind. And my mom had a devastating brain aneurysm about 30 years ago. And when I look back, I know that was when everything changed for me. I think that was the day when I became a man. My mom passed away last week, and the very next day, I felt different. I was like almost relieved. It was like a rebirth of sorts, like a renaissance. She had been sick, and in my mind, probably not helping, not contributing, not active. She was... just not at a point where she was contributing like she did when I was a kid. And so she passed away. But now somehow my mom, she's back with me. Now my healthy mom is back with me in some way. And it's like, you know what? Suddenly I've got somebody from upstairs adding confidence, approval, appreciation. You know, I'm 55 years old, Mark. I just turned 55. And today, I can feel it. Today is my turning point. I even sang today. I was in such a good mood at the beginning of the show. And I think a lot of us, we go through that in our time. It takes that turning point, that awakening. And so no matter where you are today, you know, it may be a new job. It may be a new relationship. It may be a difficult moment that you are going through. But it's never too late for that epiphany, that turning point. It's never too late to start the rest day, the rest of your days of your life. So, little shout out to all the entrepreneurs out there, the leaders of hometown patriotism, to the two men that we had come on today. They're investing into this community, to all those fighting the good fight for our security, our way of life like you did, Marcus, and to the 13 stripes and to the 50 stars and to that turning point that is right around the corner for all of us. And it's always worth fighting for, Marcus. Never above you. Never below you.
Always by your side.